the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-host John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you, and we always start this segment off with Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry. And one of the biggest things is we've been following where the road ends and the road is about to end.
Yes, I think you were saying that.
So they are looking like that they're about a couple of days maybe away. I'm tracking them on the little map with the tracker that they've got, and I've learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know before. It turns out Tierra del Fuego, which, by the way, actually means land of fire.
Okay.
And the reason is because all the stuff that's south of that, which incidentally belongs to Chile, not Argentina, is what they call Cabo del Hornos. Now, Hornos is waves, but when you try to look it up, they say it actually means Cape Horn.
Okay.
Well, Cape Horn's in Africa.
Right.
But so by Spanish, Cabo del Hornos would be the Cape of the Waves.
Okay.
But at any rate, the whole thing down there is all volcanic. You couldn't live there. There's nothing south of Tierra del Fuego that you could possibly live on.
So it's much like Hawaii then in certain areas.
In a way, yeah. It's like Hawaii right up next to the volcanoes where it's just nothing but pure lava. And
right.
Somehow when it was all formed, and they got big, big islands down there of nothing but this. You couldn't grow anything. You couldn't
okay.
do anything. It's, you know, but at any rate, people go down there. They take boats and they go in and they walk around and they see all of this.
Right.
But Tierra del Fuego is the most south inhabitable, and it's a little bitty, two little islands. And so they're going to try to get there. And, of course, like I
cool.
say, the stuff down, the Chilean stuff just south of that, you can't ride there. There's no road. There's no nothing. So, but they should be there in a couple of days, it looks like.
So are they part of the, I wonder if that's part, of, well, it's got to be part of the Ring of Fire because it goes all the way from Alaska all the way along through the United States down through Mexico, South America, all the
right.
way down to the tip, and then underneath the water is two, I'm sure, and then comes around over another place. But we
right.
that whole area, I mean the whole north our whole continent, both continents yep. or whatever, it's got these lava, this whole lava range of mountains.
Right.
And it's what formed our mountain range, and it's
yep.
it's very amazing. That,
well, it says that they think this is where the Andes Mountains came from, but this was at the end of it, and it just all poured into the
okay.
water there and
yes.
then sealed up. But and it turns out if you look on the Facebook page, they have pictures of them riding into and through Argentina, and there's only three of them. And so somebody
oh.
commented on that. And they said, well, one of the guys, actually his bike broke down and got lost in the gap, the Darien Gap.
Okay.
And so as soon as they got out the other end, he got on an airplane, flew home.
Oh, yeah. That...
So there's only been three of them
oh.
since they got into Colombia. But at any rate.
Now, do you think there's some good surfing down there at the bottom of the, around there?
I was wondering about that. There's a channel down there, and they're talking about the Cape of the Waves.
Right.
And there's like a channel that's, 100 miles long, and you had commented about,
Well, we were talking about the Endless Summer, and what was interesting is, was it Ron Brown that did this? He did on any Sunday, and then he first did Endless Summer.
Right.
And then he did on any Sunday. And what we were talking about, and I didn't realize this, is that for anybody who knows anything about motorcycling, you know that on any Sunday was like, it was huge. The effect that had
yep.
on the population of the United States and possibly abroad to get on a little motorcycle, go out and start riding a motorcycle was huge. I mean, it started yep. the whole new generation of riders in the 60s.
Yep.
And then you were telling me that when you were in Australia and other places, that they Surfer's Paradise, that the only reason why they call it that came from the movie. And I was telling you, I was watching this movie. I'd never seen – well, I had seen The Endless Summer when I was a kid. And so I'm watching it on YouTube, and I'm just enjoying the dickens out of it, and they're going to all these places – And you were telling me that some of the places they went are now big resorts. And,
So Surfer's Paradise was probably the best waves, and they said that, the best waves that they found in Australia. Nobody was surfing.
That's
in New Zealand and Australia at the time. And people would watch them do it and thought they were wacky. And so they said, well, what if we show you how to do it?
Right.
And a couple of people tried it. And then they left.
Well, they had some people, I think, they were down south, but there just wasn't as many as here.
Right.
And there was some people from South America.
But it really took
off. South Africa. It did.
It really took off in Australia.
Well, the whole Gold Coast, that whole area up there when I was in Perth. And surfing's huge in Perth. It's just like San Diego. And the guys that I stayed with, Ron, and it was in his house. I stayed there for 2 weeks, and his ritual was he and the dudes would get up early in the morning before the sun came out, and they'd go down surfing just as the sun's coming up, and then they'd come home, take a quick shower, and go off to work. This is the ritual that they did every day, and he was like 2 blocks from the beach.
See, in Australia, they have always had these surf boats that they do because they have lots of beaches,
right?
And they have, and so they have long had that they would row out, and the idea is to practice in case you have to rescue somebody, and they'd row out and then turn around and catch a wave with this boat, and come back in with a boat,
okay?
And so when they saw surfing, they said, "Oh, that would be fun too."
Oh yeah!
And the next thing
they
totally
get it.
Right.
Well, just like the Hawaiians with their dugouts, with their long boats. And then when you brought surfing over, they're like, I get this. This is no different than what we're doing out here on the long boats.
Right. Well, of course, Hawaii is where surfing came from.
Yeah.
They did that in the first place. But, yeah, Hawaii is very interesting because they have their outriggers where you paddle between that. Well, there's our music. We'll be back in just a moment with more of our show.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johann. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we have helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices. But hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of the World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John here. For more information about the show, visit us at worldofmotorcycling.com. Check us out at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com. And we like to start this section off with Behind the Bars, where we spend some time covering cool stuff, trends, new bikes, people, and more. And I've got a number of things I want to cover. We kind of got onto the surfing thing just because it's surfing is it's a unique sport. And then right. You think about you go from surfing, you've got skateboarding, and then you got snowboarding, yep. And we just watched the Olympics, and now they got free board snowboarding, and it's so cool to see the evolution of these sports. Cool.
And then they have the guys who take the little bikes and they go up the half pipe racing.
Yes.
You know. So.
Well, and then you got extreme motocross and yep. Indoor arena stuff where they're just flip. Flying around, jump off their bike, land back, and I'm like, this is just nuts.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Hats off to all you people who do that. I used to jump my pedal bike when I was a kid, and I'd go quite a long distance, and I'd end up crashing and burning, no helmet or anything. But on a motorcycle, I don't think so. Anyway, cool conversation kit for conversion kit has come out from Can-Am. But they're side-by-side. It lets you not only do the dirt, but you can go in the snow as well. Can-Am has announced the launch of an all-new snow-ready Apache backcountry track kit from the Can-Am Accessories Group. The accessory designed specifically for the Can-Am side-by-sides will be hitting the Can-Am dealerships in September and will have a manufacturing stated price of $5,349, an additional $650 for the mounting kit, so it's about $6,000, will put you into the snow with your side by side. So it kind of looks like a little sled, you know those yep. snow cats. That's what it looks like. It looks like a miniature snow cat, but of course it's going to be much more maneuverable and faster. And then I have found out that not to be left out, Polaris has launched a newer, faster than ever rope winch, which can be added to the front end of your 4x4, your two side-by-sides, and it's called the Sportsman Ace Models, and it's 5 times faster, and it's winding up. And I thought, okay, so you got these little winches for the side-by-sides. I wonder if they make them really small for an adventure bike. So you were telling me that the guys on this adventure, the one guy lost his bike in the canyon or wherever it was.
Yep.
I wonder if he had a winch, he could have pulled the sucker. Well, maybe he did, but he lost. Anyways, if you drop your bike down a ravine or something, you have a little winch, and you could pull it right back up. So yep. They may have them. I didn't research that, but I just thought that'd be cool. And then more news from BRP. BRP, which moved its U.S. headquarters to Plano, Texas last year, is considering spending $385 million on acquisitions to expand its product line, according to the Dallas Morning News. BRP expects to decide on a new product line within 18 months, said the chief executive officer, and said last Wednesday he wants to propel BRP past the $4.6 billion in annual sales revenue by 2020. Sales were about $3.4 billion in the year ended. And this is a Quebec-based company, by the way. And I'm thinking it's kind of interesting. Is this okay? A number of these companies, what they've done is they've bought out competitors that weren't as big, not as well-known, yep. but had a similar product mix. And then they buy them out, and then they put their own labels on them. This has been going on for quite some time. We've been covering it over the weeks and the months and years in the last show. But I find that's interesting. And then lastly, in the non-road type stuff, Yamaha Watercraft Group, together with Yamaha Motor Inc. Manufacturing Corporation of America, announced the 1,000,000th Yamaha Wave Runner personal watercraft just rolled off the line. 1,000,000.
Yep.
1,000,000 Wave Runners. That's amazing.
Yep.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, if I had all the money in the world and a place to park it, I'd probably have one of those. I'd probably have a snow machine. I'd probably have 2 or 3 bikes. I got a little teeny house, a little postage stamp lot, and I don't have a lot of room for anything. and it's all you can do to get me on a bike, and I'm going to get one, and I've got a place in the back where I can park. It's in a shed. But, man, I just find that's really interesting. And then one more from Yamaha. They have announced it's developed a trials bike electric motorcycle. And this is a, it says the TY-E will compete for the first time in the 2018 FIM Trial E-Cup, which scheduled appearances in Oran in France, July 14th through the 15th. So they are going to bring out an electric version of a trial. So they've got to have this thing. You rode a Zero, didn't you? You took a Zero out?
Yes, I took a Zero out.
And they've got, don't they have it, though, it's so you don't just push it and it just kills you. You've got a little bit of graduated.
Originally they did, but the one I had been fixed.
Yeah, now everything they sell has got the calibrate.
It has a little thing that kind of damps it.
Yes.
To come up, so you don't do that. Otherwise, you'll flip this sucker right
you
over.
You couldn't do an electric without right. a dampener on there
and
for a trials bike.
That's why Brammo was doing them with gears.
That's right.
Because they would, you know, they had it very highly geared and everything so that, you know, you could come up.
Well, and it transitioned like a normal motorcycle
would. A normal motorcycle, right. But
now these are automatics. Most all electrics are automatics, much like the Honda-matic where it was
right.
back in the day. But
right.
they've got that graduated yep. transmission on there.
Yep. Now I found one for my buddy. I have a guy that everybody calls him old guy because he's the old guy. But at any rate, he wants
and that makes us what?
He wants a trike, but he does not have the money to buy one.
Okay.
Well, Palco is making a kit, and you can either have it with a truck bed or what they call hot rod. It's just like a little cover. And basically what it is it's a little thing that locks
does it substitute
two wheels into the back where the wheel ought to be.
So you replace the wheel hub and you
right.
put in an axle with your outboard.
Right, and it just drives right off of
okay.
the same thing. But then you've got like a cover, what he calls a hot rod. It's just a cover to go over
right.
it. And the truck bed actually looks like a little truck in the
I
back.
I saw that, yeah.
But it's apparently reversible. It's everything. And it's like I say, it's made by Palco. It does not tell me where Palco's
well, what's her name, the big guy?
But it's $1,249.
$1,200?
That's for the truck bed. It's $699 for the hot rod one.
But how about the axle? Does that include the axle?
That includes everything except the lights. You have to put in the electronics and the lights, but it will get you going. So
is this like a kit that you buy?
It's a kit that you buy, and you hook it in, and the next thing you know, you're running a trike, but you're running a trike right off the
axle.
Okay,
what was the company that used to make the trikes, the conversions? Come on, we had the guy on. What was the big? They went out of business.
Yeah, and now I'm having a senior.
Oh,
moment.
So am I. Yes. You said old guy, and so, I'm thinking yeah. I'm having a senior moment here. Oh, it'll come to us here shortly.
Probably when we're done. It's,
yeah. So that's you better show your buddy that because that's affordable.
Yeah, that would be highly affordable because he just bought a smaller bike.
Does it say what kind of bikes it would attach
it
to?
It says it does anything that has a drive. It'll that they
yeah,
have a way
that's
to do
universal.
It. So because basically you're hooking it in where the right into the frame and the whole nine yards, right where the rear wheel should be.
Okay.
And only now you're driving the axle
right.
going out to two wheels and then you just put a cover over it so it doesn't, you know, have all of the machinery hanging out. But, you know, it uses the same transmission of the motorcycle and everything like that. So
that would be cool. I would like to see more about that. And Harley-Davis has announced that it is introducing Harley-Davidson flat track experience in India. For motorcycle enthusiasts, according to a report from Car and Bike, the flat track is located at John Singh Speedway in Shapura near Jaipur. That's Jaipur. The flat track experience was led by Marco Belli, international flat track legend and master of the Di Traverso School in Italy, A special two-day master class and training was conducted for a select group of enthusiasts who learned the nuances of flat track racing in a classroom sessions, as well as practical instructions on how to corner a bike on the dirt. Now I'm thinking, okay, so they're going to introduce flat track racing with Harleys. Now this would be great for the smaller, you know, the Harley,
streets.
Yeah, the streets and stuff. But you know what's going to happen if they start pushing it? People on the Royal Enfields are going to be out doing the same thing.
They're going to be doing the same thing.
It'll all of a sudden it may start a new craze over there. It would be interesting to see, because it sounds like they're just introducing it for the first time in India.
Right, and from what we've been reading, the Indians are nuts, and so they're looking to see if they can do it with big Harleys. Next thing you know, here they're out here doing dirt tracking with the Road King. This I want to see.
Yeah, well, speaking of Indian, it's the Indian scouts have been chewing up the flat tracks around here, but of course they've got about $150,000 machine that these guys are riding on.
Yeah,
so it's not like something you can get off the street.
Yep.
I mean, you can't just go into your dealer and say, I want to order one of these things up. Oh, sure, we can do that for you. That'll be $150,000. I think that was what the price was. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
And then speaking of Indian rolls out a limited edition Black Hills edition of their Chieftain Elite. Rolls out in Spearfish. Indian Motorcycle is producing a new special edition Black Hills silver bike, which honors the storied past of the Black Hills, as well as Indian's long-standing connection to them. The Indian Chieftain Elite-style bike is a limited release of only 350, boasts an award-winning V-twin motor, which delivers 119 pounds per square foot of torque. Okay, we already know this one. However, the true star of the special edition bike are the one-of-a-kind marbled inlays, which are each hand-painted in Spearfish and are 100% unique to each bike. The accents are produced through a process of applying thin plastic sheets to wet paint. Crinkle thing. The unique paint job takes 12 coats of paint and 20 hours complete. So my thinking is this. Is this, it's got all the bells and whistles of their Elite motorcycle, but it's just got this really nice paint job. And I guess that's probably what they're going to call the Black Hills. It's probably, I don't know if they're going to go all out. They did this with the Brian Clock bike. They really didn't do a ton of modifications. They just did a nice paint job and a few modifications, and which seems to be doing well for them to sell more bikes. So, well, don't go anywhere. We got more coming up. And, of course, our safety tips and trivia question is still to come.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
And you could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft. The compression in my engine.
Welcome back to the third segment of our show, also known as Candid Conversation. This is where we interview the movers and shakers, pioneers and speed freaks, customizers and rebels within the world of motorcycling. And tonight we'll be interviewing each other because we don't have anybody.
Yes, so we had a great interview last week, and I've got more lined up. And then if you'll notice, John's not with us, and he is off doing his... his training class, but he will be with us in the next segment. So he will be with us then, thanks to the magic of pre-recording.
Yes.
And it won't be long, and John is going to be doing remotes. He's actually, we're setting him up to have a home studio so that he can come on with us. He'll be interlinked with us, and it'll sound just great. For those who do not know, we live in the Puget Sound, and we live in a place called Linwood, Washington. But John lives in a little town north of us called Mount Vernon, and that's about a good 45 miles north. Would you say about 45 miles north?
Yeah.
And he, when I asked him to join the new show last October, I kind of had this idea that we were going to set him up to do remote. And he's been coming, I mean, since October, like a trooper. And he's kind of like, Steve, can we talk about that?
remote.
Because he has been putting in long hours. He's putting in long hours, and then he gets, he leaves work, comes all the way down here, and then he goes all the way. He doesn't get home till 10 o'clock.
Right.
And he's been gone since 6 in the morning. So
now he always picks up a growler of beer on the way. But so now he can pick up the growler of beer and have it while doing the show.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be asking him about what the flavor of the week is. But nonetheless, that will be – he will still be making weekly contributions. He'll be part of the show, no problem there. And he will be showing up and rolling into the studio from now and again as well.
Yep.
But – I just want to let everybody know that there will be some just a little changes. No difference. Three of us will be here. It's just he's going to have a remote studio, and that's going to be nice for him. And I kind of had that idea all along. So I've been happy the fact that he's been with us this long with us every week because we love having John here. So, John, we love you. So I think you had something there, Walt, you wanted to cover.
I did.
I saw you shuffling the papers over there. Well, I did come across a very interesting thing. It's this. I wrote the title. Here we go again. Long running event closed down due to ties with Motorcycle Club. The city of Mesa preemptively shut down an annual event hosted by Arizona Soul Brothers, the Phoenix-based motorcycle club that was involved in a deadly shooting last year. The two-night event was scheduled to take place at Desert Wind Harley-Davidson near County Club Drive, 10th Avenue. A flyer promoting the event stated that it was the 44th annual event hosted by the club. 48 Foundation, it's a 501c3 nonprofit, first with ties to Arizona Soul Brothers members, applied for a liquor's license for the event, which would feature wine, spirits, food, and the like, hamburgers, and that type of thing. And then... after a big debate with the city, it was formally decided that they were not going to give them the license, which basically means that without the license, without the ability to put on the event, it cancels the event.
Yep.
And so they're shut down. And what's really frustrating is, we know that there was a vendor that didn't come through for the Hollister rally.
Right.
And I'm sure the guys over at Corbin are going to pick up the slack and have something over there at their location. But, you know, folks, when you have 44 years of putting on an event and it's at a Harley dealership.
Right.
Really?
With no incidents as far as we've been able to tell.
Not with the event itself.
Right.
With someone tied to the event.
Right.
Now, my thinking is this. Hey, who's the guys? It is... Desert Wind Harley-Davidson, you guys need to go out and get the license to do the food, to do the liquor, to have the beer, and you sponsor that so that the event can go on. But maybe there's a little more to it than that, because basically it just said city council anonymously voted to deny the liquor license application based on recommendations from the Mesa Police Department. So you know what? Maybe it don't matter who's applying. They were said no. So I'll bet you the Harley dealership couldn't. Folks, we just want to say we're not about shooting one another, but we are 100% behind any kind of well-run motorcycle event, because that brings people in, and people that don't even ride like coming to these things. They like hanging out.
Particularly if you've done it 43 consecutive times without incident.
Oh, my gosh. And we've had situations here in our local where they've had them, and then they've been pushed off to certain areas, and because of the high cost of this and that and security, and now they've come back. Because this is what happens, is sometimes someone on the council says, "Oh, this is, we don't want this kind of riffraff in our town," never mind that the average motorcycle rider is making $50,000 to $100,000 a year. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. It costs money to ride these things. And then all the people who come in to looky-loo and look at them, well, you just bring in tens of thousands of dollars into that little teeny towns, which are typically small towns, for a weekend. And then they say, well, it causes problems. We don't want to cause any problems. We've heard problems down here, over there, blah, blah, blah. And they make
they
it
need
so
to
expensive.
Talk to Anacortes. I always tell everybody
that's
to talk to Anacortes.
Yes.
Because the largest one-day event
in the
on
Northwest,
the West Coast,
yeah.
the entire West Coast, is Oyster Run.
Yep.
Run by an actual, no joke, 1% three-piece patch club.
In conjunction with the
that's
city
right.
council,
the
with the chamber, and
buddies.
With the county.
It's like our guest the other day was saying that there's a lot of places where the police and the clubs don't get along. And we would be here till the cows come home discussing why that is sometimes and where it is.
Right.
There's at least one club I know of that deserves their bad reputation. And all the other clubs will tell you that. But at any rate, this one does not. They get along. And you talk bad about them up in Anacortes, and the police will give you a hard time.
Right, because
they're friends with them.
This is huge. It's been, like you said, it's anywhere from 10 to 30,000 bikes, depending whether it's pouring down rain or a nice sunny day.
Yep.
And they come from British Columbia and all of Washington and some parts beyond that.
Yep.
And this is an annual event, the Oyster Run, that happens in the fall. And it's well organized, never had any problem. We had one up in Everett a couple of years ago, and there was not any problem. But then we were told, well, it was going to cost more money for security and all this. And I'm like, have you ever heard of the term, I'm not going to use the term, but don't crap where you eat.
Right.
And the bottom line is, most people don't want to have any issues because this is what they want to do.
Right. The business people love it.
The people that ride motorcycles don't bother each other because they want to have a place they can come. And the business people that are smart, they know that there's a lot of people that come in any kind of event. I don't care if it's a car show, a motorcycle show, a horse show. It doesn't matter. There's I'm thinking if you're listening to this and you live in a small little town, let's say there's 700, 800 people within the city limits and then maybe a few thousand around the area. Maybe you live in Prosser or something like this. Why not start a motorcycle? We had it was called Hell's Canyon Rally. And this was years and years ago. There was a group of guys that started this thing called Hell's Canyon Rally down in Baker City, Oregon. And we had another show that Walt and I did, and we got on and we advertised them for a couple of years. And people came from all over that listened to that show and said, "Hey, we heard about you on the show. And we saw you at the International Motorcycle Show." And they had a tremendous turnout. And it was a little teeny town. All of a sudden, it got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
And if you want to have a weekend event where you have great stuff, start small, because people that like, if it's a wonderful place, I'm telling you, people love it. We had the guy from Port Alberni, and that thing's been going on for 25 plus years. And now it's just they get thousands and thousands of people showing up, and the city loves it. And And you don't even have to ride a motorcycle.
Well, and Renee just had it on that they're having big their competition now.
Yes, they are.
For the most rider-friendly. Because she had both the Port Alberni guys and the Twin Hills Alberta guys.
That's right.
And they both, they just said it was a huge increase because they got the, you know. But that's the whole point is, you know, I mean, what are we saying? What did we say about Hell's Canyon? Hey, guys, go on down. You're going to have a blast.
Yep.
And what happens? People come back and go, hey, I listened to that show. Steve doesn't like me saying the name anymore.
Right.
But at any rate, we heard it, and we went down there, and we had a blast. Let's go back next year. You know, but at any rate, it's...
I just always find it just very interesting when people are willing to cut the cord on something that's 44 years old, 43 right. years old. And, you know, times are tough. There are a lot of places that yeah. don't have... We happen to be in a very unique situation here in... We're kind of like Silicon Valley, but we have Boeing and other places to draw from. We have 4 million people within three counties now, and
right.
it's growing by 90,000 a year. Now, right. that doesn't mean that everybody's going to have a job that's going to pay for a place to live around here. You're going to have to go further and further out. But there's a lot of places that don't have that.
Yep.
And if you can have a kind of a gathering where you're going to bring in a few thousand dollars and a few thousand people, please. Just out of yep. the kindness of your heart, think beyond something in that. So I wanted to segue into something I found very interesting, and I don't know if they do this for motorcycles, but everybody knows who Kelley Blue Book is.
Yep.
Well, they're kind of like the Bible of the of automobile, and they've just come out with their 2018 Brand Image Award winners based on the annual New Car Buyer Perception Award data. And they basically get this by 12,000 individuals who participate in this.
Yep.
And here's what they came across. For 2018, best overall brand, who do you think it is, Walt?
For cars?
Yes.
Probably Toyota.
Honda.
Well,
Honda got back up there. Most trusted brand, who do you think that might be?
Probably Chevy.
Subaru.
Ooh.
Best value brand, Honda. Most refined brand. Now, most refined brand, Honda. I don't think of Honda as being a refined brand, but they are refined. They did what it said is Honda went to work and retooled a lot of their cars. And then best performance brand, Mazda. And best car styling brand went to Mazda. Now, the 2018 Brand Image Award for truck. Who do you think won on that one? Come on.
Ford.
Yes. Ford has consistently come to the top of all pickup trucks. They've done a very good job of branding themselves. Everybody thinks of a Ford pickup truck.
I don't understand how that is. I mean, I couldn't bring myself to buy anything but a Dodge Ram because, you know, Sam Elliott would not like
it. Oh, that's funny. And then in the luxury brands, best overall luxury brand, Lexus, most trusted luxury brand, Lexus, best value, Buick.
Yep.
Buick. Most refined, Mercedes-Benz, best performance, Porsche, and best car styling luxury brand, Jaguar. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is it would be interesting to see if Kelley Blue Book would do the same for motorcycling in that they would have 12,000 motorcyclists do the same kind of rating. And it would be very interesting. We have our own rating things, but we don't have this kind of a thing. And so maybe I'm going to go on Kelley Blue Book, and I'm going to poke around, and I'm going to send them a thing and say, why don't you guys do this? Do you do this? Why don't you do this for motorcycling? Because everybody's got their opinion on what they think is the best bike and the best performing and the best thing. But interestingly enough, we know that Harley sales have been down several years now. There's a lot of problems going on. They are rolling out new models or type of things. I read a very interesting article today put out by American Dealer Magazine, and they were just pointing out in the last 5 years that the top brass has been selling their stock shares, stocks off, while the company's been buying shares. Does that tell you that the top brass is actually making money off of buying back stocks and selling their shares, and they're not maybe as invested into the company as you would hope they would be?
Yep.
I really find that very disappointing, and I think that's a sign of a lot of corporations. The guys at the top get the big shares, then they buy back, they take the profits, and they buy back more shares, and then they sell their own stocks. And they're benefiting, and while in the meantime, maybe you could have paid down debt and devised some new models. I'm thinking new models, and the electric bike is not going to do it enough.
Yep.
Well, there's our a reminder that we're coming to the end of this segment, and we've got another great segment coming up. It's our safety segment, so stick with us for safety tips, trivia question, and a lot more to come. Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices. But hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. Make sure to visit our blog at www.worldofmotorcycling.com and use the contact form to send us your email.
And don't forget to go to the Facebook page either under World of Motorcycling. Got some great stuff there.
In this segment, we like to start things off with our Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. So, John, what tip do you have for us this week?
Well, if you're out there shopping for a motorcycle, perhaps your first motorcycle, especially your first motorcycle,
yes.
I just want to talk for a minute about the importance of fit and fit of the motorcycle to you. It can be tempting to, you know, fall into the bigger is better trap, but you need to be conscious of how well you are able to balance and hold up that motorcycle. I had an individual come to me for third-party testing a couple weeks ago. He was a gentleman of smaller stature. I'd say he was probably in the 5'2" range.
Mm-hmm.
And he arrived for his test on a Road Glide, a large Harley touring bike.
Right. Yep.
He was tiptoeing this bike.
Right.
And at one point, I needed him to back up a couple of feet and he couldn't back it up
because
he couldn't get his feet down. I had to put my hand on the headlight and push it back for him.
Wow.
So, you know, this was a situation where this was a motorcycle that clearly did not fit this rider.
Right.
And it was a safety problem because it affected his ability to control the motorcycle.
We're actually trained not to do that.
Good.
Now, if the guy comes in, he's got a Road Glide or something like that, some big bike, and he's doing tippy-toe, then I tell him, okay, if you're going to have this, we need to lower it.
Yeah.
Because you have to be flat-footed when you're stopped.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so...
I'm glad to hear that that's your policy there, Walt. I'm
because
really
sport bikes,
that.
You can be the same way. You are like...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you're on your tippy toes...
Oh, and with the sport bike, you have high weight, and it's worse.
Yeah.
Because if that thing gets too far over, it's going down.
It's
going to
go. Make sure you can flat foot your bike. You're going to need to back it up at some point. And if you can't get your feet down flat on the ground, it's going to be really hard to do. And then, you know, and other things in terms of fit. I've had my motorcycle, the one that I'm riding now, for 15 years. And 2 weeks ago, I installed adjustable levers on my clutch and brake. And I can't believe what a difference it's made. I wasn't even really conscious that the levers didn't fit my hands that well. But I put these adjustable levers on, and I adjusted the levers a little closer to the bars. And I'm really surprised at how much better my control is now.
Oh, so what you're saying is the lever itself was sticking too far out, and you can
It was kind of too far away. It was
right,
out at the tips of my fingers,
right?
And so now they're moved back maybe half a centimeter or so,
right?
So they're just that much closer to the palms of my hand, and I have more control now on both of those.
Now, was that an aftermarket part?
It was an aftermarket part that I put on. And it's got a little screw adjuster on there. And a lot of newer bikes, especially sport bikes, come with these where they'll have adjustable levers.
Okay.
Where you can adjust the distance of the lever from the bar, from the grip, so that you can accommodate smaller or larger hands.
Okay.
I've never considered myself to have small hands. They're not really small.
Right.
But I was just amazed at the difference. It just like I say, just like half a centimeter closer to the bar. And I feel like I have so much more control over the clutch and the brake lever now.
Wow.
So, and, you know, even 15 years later and tens of thousands of miles on this bike, I'm still fine-tuning the fit of the bike.
Well, I don't know about other bikes, but on Harleys, you can adjust the clutch so that where it catches.
Oh, the engagement point and everything?
A lot of people like it really tight. Yep. That is not good, guys. You want it about midpoint.
Midpoint,
because if it's really tight, as soon as you move, you're gone.
You're going.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you want it about midpoint. You want some nice, smooth transitions.
Smooth engagement, yep.
You don't want that lurch.
And when I was doing that, the other thing I changed is I slightly changed the angle of the handlebars. I just rotated the handlebars and the clamps just slightly, raised the ends of the grips maybe half an inch. But it's made a huge difference in my low speed maneuvering. I'm able to turn the bars further, so I've got more.
Right.
You know, I can get to full lock a lot easier. I'm like I say, after 15 years, I'm still fine-tuning the bike to me.
Now, do you think also as you get older, your body is not the same as it used to be like when 15 years
ago? Well, I know mine's not.
I know mine isn't too. I mean, I went out dancing with my wife, and then the next day I'm like sore. I'm like, what am I?
Why am I so sore?
I was dancing, and I haven't. Oh, well, yeah, I guess I. And I exercised at the gym, but it was a total different thing.
Yeah.
So as you age or you go from one bike platform to another, you are going to need to adjust that.
You're going to have to dial this stuff
in. Yeah, you're not going to be able to jump on and feel the same. And even if you bought a brand new of the same model, there are changes.
There are changes.
Little differences.
Little differences. You may need a lowering link. You may need to lower it. You may need to get a lower seat height.
Yep.
You know, some motorcycles have different seats that you can swap out to drop them down.
You know, it was interesting. I remember I went to a motorcycle rodeo that the police put on, and I saw these different contraptions that were actually seat risers or seat lowerers, and some of the guys were taller, and they put a seat riser. It's a little bracket that goes underneath it, and it raised it up, and they've got the big rounded kind of seats.
Yeah, the big solo seats.
Big solo seats, and they raised it up, and I'm like, what's that? He goes, oh, no, that's to raise the thing, because I went, and he says, see over there, they can lower theirs down. And I'm like, that is the nice thing with most motorcycles. You can adjust these things to some degree to make them fit your body type.
Fit.
But like you said, John, don't get something that's far beyond your, you know, it kind of reminds me when I was a kid, my friend Bruce and I go down to his house, and this neighbor gal, she was a teacher, and she lived across the way, single gal, and she bought herself a 750, I don't know what it was. This is in like the mid-70s, and I remember her friend was helping her out, and I came over, and she was monkeying around, and I think I left, and I came back the next day to see Bruce, and there was a big dent in their garage door.
Oops.
And I said, what happened? Oh, she got on that thing, started up, and she went straight across from her driveway into our house. Ooh. And she slammed into the garage door because she hit the accelerator, didn't know how to stop the thing, and that 750 moved like within 2 seconds she was, or a second she was.
Doesn't take long.
No, so know yourself.
Know yourself.
Yep.
And if you're gonna get a big bike, plan ahead and plan to have spend some money to have it lowered and have it adjusted to fit you.
Yep.
Yep. Because I know guys that are short and they have big bikes, but they've got them adjusted.
They've got them adjusted.
Well, you know, it depends on what you mean by big bikes. Some people think some of our soft tails are big bikes, but we've got low soft tails.
Right.
Right.
That they're a big bike. They've got the big engine. They've got the big everything. But I've had little women with their feet flat on the ground.
Sure. Well, and I think it is. And so let's keep that in mind. And good advice there, John.
Yeah. Get a bike that fits.
And it'd you see this all the time out on the
see it all the time, yeah.
And I hate to say it, but we have a couple boards that we can go to that list how many people die every day in the United States. And I don't like to go there very often because it's very depressing. But folks, we just like to really remind you and focus. When you do buy a bike, make sure that it fits your body. When you do ride, make sure that you're riding according to your skill sets, because
stay within your limits.
Too easy to overdraw, ride that bike, and the next thing you know, you've lost control, and it's too late. And your life is worth a whole lot more than showing off on a big motorcycle that you can't handle.
And if you go in somewhere and the only thing the salesman cares about is getting you to buy a bike, go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
You want somebody who's going to get you the right bike.
The right bike, no matter what it is.
Well, guys, we're down to one more segment. Don't go away because we have our rallies and runs and trivia questions coming right up.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, events, and more. And so, on the 3rd of May through the 5th, we have Why We Ride to the Quail, which is riding up from Moor Park, California to Monterey, California for the Quail Concours. May 11th, you have Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach Bike Week, which you can go to www.myrtlebeachbikeweek.com and learn about it. And you need to have a lot of people go to that because it keeps coming and going.
Right.
The government don't like it, and the merchants do. So go support the merchants. Then on the 1st through the 3rd of June will be Reno, Nevada Street Vibrations. That is a blast. I've never been there on a motorcycle, but I've been there to see it. And it's in Tahoe, Carson, and Virginia City, and also Reno. And www.roadshowreno.com. So,
well, that is cool. I want to just say happy 40th to the Yoshimaru Suzuki Racing Team. The 28 racing season will not only see Yoshimaru, sorry if I'm butchering that, Suzuki Factory Racing Team back on track to defend its Moto America Superbike Championship. It also marks its 40th anniversary of one of the most successful partnerships in the history of the sport. Now, get this. It started in 1978, the very year that I graduated from high school. Suzuki Yoshimura made a formal partnership, making the Yoshimura Suzuki Factory Racing Squad the official factory entry into the AMA Pro Road Racing. It proved to be an incredibly fruitful alliance. In 40 years of racing, they have become the most successful team ever in Moto America AMA Superbike history. And with 189 wins. Wow, that's great. So hats off to you guys over there. 40th anniversary of anything is something to be very grateful for. And 189 wins in the Superbike Championships, that's a wonderful thing. And then one other thing I came across, which is Google is adding a new motorcycling-oriented mapping service. Google has rolled out the two-wheeler feature in Indonesia market to help two-wheel traffic move more efficiently. In a post on its Indonesian blog, the company noted that the number of motorcycles on Indonesia streets outnumbered cars 7-1, with most households finding travel via motorcycle more convenient. My thinking is they are going to be rolling this out across the world as things progress. So keep your eyes open for the Google motorcycle app coming your way. And John isn't here, and I didn't get the answer to last week's trivia question. So, oh my gosh, we'll have to wait till he gets back in, folks. Can I just say something? I do another show. It's about cars, and people do email us and Facebook us and tell us what they think is the answer, and we get to say their name. So if you're good enough to listen to the show, I really want you to get on Facebook and or use Connect. Contact us at worldofmotorcycling.com. I would love to hear from you. We'll say your name. You'll win the grand prize of having your name on the show. So, please, we want to do that, and I'm not going to do a trivia because that's John's job.
Well, guys and gals, that about wraps up for this week. Make sure to share us with your friends and let us know how we're doing. And I'm Walt.
I'm Steve.
And remember, wherever you're looking is where you're going to go. So you want to look where you want to go. We'll see you out on the road.